fighting for America.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Iranians, when they sat down, said, look, we want you to know that we're going to work towards a treaty. If we get there, though, it's got to go to our equivalent of a parliament, and they've got to approve it. You mean to tell me that in Iran, they've got a more representative government than America?
Fighting for you.
They're like, hey, this is a great location. I would love to be here, but there's this eminent domain thing hanging over our head. It's a tough call.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. One more time with Linda.
Hello, all right. Kevin.
All right, Linda, what do you got?
The business about the hoorah at the Senate, I think it was the Senate hearing. And, you know, people need to realize that mob rule will get them absolutely nowhere except jail.
Right.
And, you know, the young lady, I'm not sure if it was a gentleman or a lady, but the person that was
Ricky?
On
yeah.
the floor.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I totally disagree. Totally disagree with her and her approach. Schools all over this country are scrapping and fighting for what they need.
Sure. Now, Linda, thank you for the call. Quickly to Christina. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi. I just wanted to call and talk a little bit about kind of the double standard as far as the add the words exchange goes. I have friends that are homosexual or transgender because I worked at a beauty school. And so I consider a lot of them to be my friend, but although I do not support the add the words. And so when one of my friends posted something on Facebook about it, I had a question about it, and it was just an honest inquiry. It was not mean. And I made it clear that I do have friends that are gay or lesbian. And people I didn't even know called me all kinds of names. They said I was a horrible friend, that I had no character, and that basically it was just outrageous of me, and that I needed to change the way I thought. And the problem with everybody in this valley is that we're all basically backwards and need to change the way that we think about things. And that morals, having morals to them, is just backwards thinking.
Well, good point bringing out the double standard. I'm sorry you were attacked, Christina.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, you have a good day. We appreciate that. John Guandola with us, former FBI special agent, Marine counterterrorism expert. Also, understandingthethreat.com joins us to talk about the ISIS threat. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Good to have you with us. Good. Sorry to keep you waiting there. First of all, thank you for your service, both with the Marines, graduating the Naval Academy, and with the FBI. That's quite a lot of accomplishments.
Well, thank you very much for saying so. Just doing my part.
Well, you take a look at the world we live in today. How scary, how dangerous is it?
Well, I would say it's obviously we have some significant issues, but I think the greatest concern to me is that we are focused solely, I believe, both the citizens of the United States and our government on the ISIS and what they're doing overseas. But there's a massive jihadi network here in the United States that's supporting training and raising up generations of jihadis here. That's made up of some of the largest and most prominent Islamic organizations. And we're not only doing anything about it. The government in the form of the White House and members of Congress and some of the law enforcement and intelligence agencies are turning to the leaders of these organizations for advice on how to, you know, wage the war on terrorism. And that, in my professional opinion, is the greatest downfall we're facing right now.
Well, it sounds like the truth is it's too scary to believe that we have these networks in this country. And sir, you'd have some people saying, well, if that's the case, why haven't they attacked us here?
Well, I think when you understand what the nature of the threat is, this is the global Islamic movement right now is focused primarily on the Islamic countries. Their own strategy has said they're focused on imposing Sharia first in the Islamic countries, and then when they believe they've done that, at least in the preponderance of the countries, they'll turn towards the West, towards Europe first and then the United States and Canada. So what you're seeing now in the acts of jihad you're seeing now are more individual acts of jihad, and then when they're organizational, like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Taliban, Boko Haram, Abu Sayyaf, Al-Shabaab attacks, those are coming less frequently because their focus is not on the West. It's on Muslim countries in Africa and Asia and the Middle East.
What are we doing wrong as far as battling them for the hearts and minds? Do we really get who and what they're about?
No, I don't think we do. I think how can you battle for the hearts and minds when 14 years into a war, nowhere in our national security apparatus, nowhere in our national security documents, have we identified the enemy? I mean, we keep coming up with new terms since 2001 that have nothing to do with who these guys are. 100% of these people say that they are Muslims waging jihad in the cause of Allah to impose Sharia, Islamic law, and establish the Islamic State. And in fact, that's what they say. It's what they say in open court. It's what they say in videotapes, in their writings on the web. It's what they say when we arrest them. It's what they say prior to or after committing acts of jihad. And in fact, 100% of all Sharia Islamic law obliges jihad until the entire world is under Sharia. There's no such thing as a version of Islamic law that doesn't require that. So starting there is the key, because we can't talk from a law enforcement perspective of how to best recruit assets or how to interview people or what to do during a search warrant or a traffic stop. And on a military perspective, we can't talk about how we're dealing with villagers or how we're dealing with enemy soldiers or jihadis found on the battlefield. And at a foreign policy level, we can't talk about how to deal with these countries unless we understand that and understand internationally that the every Islamic country is a signer and a part of the Organization of Islamic Conference who's signed and sent treaties to the United Nations saying that their understanding of human rights is the Sharia, and that they only understand human rights via the Sharia, which is to impose Islamic law. So all of this goes together to give us an understanding of what the enemy is, except we're not incorporating that into any of our strategies or our war fighting.
Let's talk about your book, Raising a Jihadi Generation, how did this happen? Is this, we're aware of it now. In the old days, it was the Palestinians, the PLO. Instead of kids on their books counting apples, they were counting rifles. How is that different from what we faced in the past?
Well, it's different in a couple big ways. Number one, the entire Islamic framework in the United States, the Islamic community, I know based on evidence, especially evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial. The U.S. versus Holy Land was the largest terrorism financing and Hamas trial ever successfully prosecuted in American history in Dallas in 2008. And that's a 15-plus year FBI investigation. And at the time it was indicted, the Holy Land Foundation was the largest Islamic charity in America, and it was a Hamas organization. And what the evidence revealed, historical documents, I mean, we had a 2004 FBI raid in Annandale, Virginia, where the archives of the Muslim Brotherhood were discovered. And all of that, plus this 15-year investigation, the evidence revealed that the most prominent Islamic organizations in the United States today, the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim Student Association, Muslim American Society, many of the others, are all part of this Muslim Brotherhood network whose stated objective is civilization jihad. and to overthrow the United States government and impose Sharia law. And so if that has been proved, which it has, through evidence in a court, and that a group like the Council on American Islamic Relations was created to be a Hamas organization in the United States, and yet these organizations are the leaders, these are the ones that we see our government entities interfacing with, and only interfacing with, as a matter of fact, in the Muslim community. So then you end up making horrible foreign policy decisions, horrible combat decisions, and destructive law enforcement decisions, because the people you're taking advice from are terrorists, as a matter of fact, by the way.
What do you make of, as a matter of fact?
Right.
What do you make?
No, I'm saying,
yeah, I'm
as
sorry.
As a matter of fact, yeah, those things are on the record through evidence.
What do you make of Eric Holder saying we're not at war with radical Islam?
I'd call that delusional. Who are we at war with then? What is the, you know, again, we don't get to choose who our enemies are. They've declared war on us. And so we need to just live in that reality. I think one of the, you know, when you talk about, you know, the political left and the jihadis and where they meet and merge and where they don't, I think where we're getting killed in this issue today is our leadership doesn't live in reality. I mean, it seems like they're in a land of like pink clouds and unicorns, and it's a problem. There's a reality that there is an organized global movement that's well funded, well organized, and well led, and it is obviously, as you're watching, taking over countries, killing tens of thousands of people, and our government leaders, like Mr. Holder, are saying, "Well, it's just this isn't what it is." Well, what is it? Just, I'd love to hear what it is. It's not just a disparate group of people who are just randomly fighting. There's a commonality here.
When we take a look at the beheadings and the killings of the Christians, is there a method to that?
Well, what do you mean? Is there a method to it? I mean, everything they do and the whole way, the whole filter of their understanding the world is the Sharia, is Islamic law. And you, by the way, for your listeners, you can purchase authoritative Islamic law published in English, you know, on Amazon.com from all over the world. So long as it's written by a recognized Muslim authority for a Muslim audience, it's authorized Islamic law. Books written for us by non-authorities, and even those written by authorities but not for Muslim audiences, are written differently. But if you get, and by the way, the reason that most Islamic law is written in English is because most of the largest Islamic countries were British colonies, and so the legal language is English. So you don't need to get a translation of authoritative Islamic law. And if you buy 100 books of authoritative Islamic law, what you're going to find is 100% of those books say that jihad is obligatory until the entire world is under Islamic rule. There's no other version of it. And so we just need to begin that. That doesn't mean that everyone that self-identifies themselves as a Muslim is a threat or an enemy, but the Sharia is uniform, and there's no such thing as a Sharia that doesn't mandate those things. And so when you look at beheadings, crucifixions, stoning, that's all a part of authoritative sacred Islamic law.
Understandingthethreat.com. John, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much for having me, Kevin.
All right. We'll have more coming up. Let's go back to the phones. We got
something else up into my mind. I never tolerated temper tantrums for my kids, and I don't intend to tolerate them from adults either. This is a typical liberal thing, that you will accept us as we are, and you will accept our beliefs regardless of what your belief is. And the Muslim thing with the Sharia is exactly the same thing. It is, you will accept it whether you like it or not, and we don't tolerate the fact that you have a different belief. And you know, it's the same thing. It's a temper tantrum, except that the Muslims are a lot more serious violence-wise. But in any case, the people who are worried about add the words ought to be looking at putting their efforts toward what's going on with the Sharia law, because it's the same thing. And Sharia does not tolerate homosexuality. So if you express your beliefs and say, I don't agree with you, we'll kill you. And so there are two things here that are, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely connected.
Good point, Pat. Thank you for the call. Pro-Life with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Yeah, hey, I like your subject. On, at church on Sunday, I had a conversation with a woman. She lived in Boise, and she had some Islamic neighbors in her apartment building. They overheard her saying something derogatory to Islam. The man said that he was going to kill her, and she moved away from that apartment. She thinks that she's still in danger. I told her, well, hey, we'll help you get a gun. And,
what'd she say about the Islam?
I don't know what she said, but
so this guy came up to her and said, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, well, they lived right above her in an apartment. But anyway, the thing is...
Did she call the police?
Yeah, she went to the police station. And
what'd the cops do?
They didn't do anything as far as I can
tell.
What
did Chief Masterson do? The great purveyor of tolerance.
Yeah, well, he was probably too tolerant. I mean, but anyway, here's my... I believe that... what Islam is doing now, the jihadists, they are faking their refugees coming in here, but they're actually jihadists. And so I'm saying that the United States...
We have a lot of refugees that come in here.
Right. I'm saying that our government, Idaho especially, because that we can control that, maybe not the United States government, we need to tell all those people, no, if they're being harmed in Iraq, Syria, or somewhere, they need to go to Morocco, Libya, somewhere else. If they're for Sharia law, we're only letting Christians from the Middle East, Yazidis, those kind of people. We're not taking any Islamic.
Well, you got the Christians that are being killed in the Middle East.
Yeah, I know.
Wonder how our immigration policy is with them.
Let's airlift those people out of there. I'm mad at all of these politicians. They're just a bunch of wimps. You agree?
What's that?
What? Politicians are a bunch of wimps?
Look, you want to pick a fight with them. Go ahead. I got to earn a living.
All right. I'll pick a fight with him. I'll run against him.
Well, look what good that did you.
Yeah, it doesn't do any good. But, hey, we're making people accountable for the great judgment in heaven. That's all we're doing.
Words to live by. Pro-Life, thank you for the call.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. A little feisty today. 823, Kevin Miller in the morning. Your phone call's next, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, 823. Time for traffic now. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. That traffic now, still running accident.
D&B Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
All right, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Greg. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, changing directions here a little bit. You probably know that there's a school district bond election coming up next Tuesday, which raises another, you know, a couple of questions for me. We're having another special election at taxpayer expense to try and push through more bonds, and why we can't have all these bonds at the times we already have primary elections or general elections in the fall, I don't know. But at my house a couple of days ago, I received what's entitled the West Ada School District News, and it's from Superintendent Linda Clark. And I'm trying to find out what authority the school has to do electioneering at what appears to be taxpayer expense. I don't see on this publication anywhere where it says not printed at, or printed not at taxpayer expense or anything like that, but this four-page newsletter is solely a sales pitch for the bond. Do you know what their rights
well,
are?
Well, I mean, Greg, that's a huge accusation that you're saying about the Meridian superintendent.
Well, it's not an accusation. I'm just asking a question. Is it do they have the authority? Like, you know, some of the congressmen have a certain budget that they can use to, you know, update their constituents. I don't know if there's a legal structure at the West Ada School District that allows a similar thing.
That's a good point, and we'll check into that. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Looks like it's going to be a great weekend, as you just heard from Larry Gebert. You know, the internet is a wonderful thing. Hillary Clinton had a chance a while ago to talk about President Bush and secret White House email accounts. It's always better to dish than receive, right? Well, it's always better when the equipment works. Maybe we'll get back to that. Hopefully the equipment will be working. We apologize for that. We move on. Phone numbers here, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Let's try it one more time.
You know, our Constitution is being shredded. We know about the secret wiretaps. We know about the secret military tribunals, the secret White House email accounts.
Oh, my goodness. She was on the campaign trail, living large, having a great time. Why is it okay for her to have the secret emails, but not President Bush, not anybody? I mean, the law is the law. And by the way, if you go back to the Bush cabinet, the law wasn't in place. What scares me to death in the age of the lack of critical thinking skills that we have in America today is that people think the law is debatable. And maybe you are if you're an attorney. Maybe it is if you're Better Call Saul on AMC. But in reality, if you get charged with something, if you get pulled over, you're held accountable. You have to hire a lawyer. And yet here we have Madam Clinton with these emails kind of making it up as she goes along. Let's hear that one more time when we're talking about the big secret emails.
You know, our Constitution is being shredded. We know about the secret wiretaps. We know about the secret military tribunals, the secret White House email accounts.
There we have it. There's some hypocrisy. And let's go a little deeper here, shall we? Let's go to the very fabric of America that is under attack, under siege, by Eric Holder and his acolytes at the Department of Justice. They're sad. They're angry. They're upset that they can't attack the Ferguson Police Department. They're upset that they can't find any charges of racism, that Officer Wilson will not be charged. Now, apparently, according to Eric Holder, the police officers did violate the Fourth Amendment. However, it looks like they will not be charged through the triple standard of the Department of Justice, which overlooks the IRS, which overlooks the NSA, which overlooks Hillary Clinton's emails, which overlooks Benghazi.
Our investigation showed that Ferguson police officers routinely violate the Fourth Amendment in stopping people without reasonable suspicion, arresting them without probable cause, and using unreasonable force against them. According to the police department's own records, their own records, its officers frequently infringe on residents' First Amendment rights.
Never mind Michael Brown, who refused to listen to an officer. Now, the great thing about being here with you, and who knows how long that will be, just because of the climate that we live in, perhaps conservatism will go the way of the Jedi Knights, an ancient religion that people will yearn to come back into popular culture as they talk about Ronald Reagan these days. But the reason why I say this is, look at how many dummies, look at how many people were sucked in to the pro-Ferguson propaganda. In Boston, they shut down an interstate. Other parts of the country, you had people protesting. I can remember being on vacation with Mrs. Miller and hearing about the protests here and wondering why people are protesting the police department in Boise, because it's the thing to do. Just like during the 60s, it was the thing to do to protest against the war, in the 70s to smoke pot, in the 80s to wear a mullet. Now, it's to tear down the very fabric, the very organizations that make America, that keep America great. Police officers, your first line of defense, led by the Attorney General, the attacks on the police. Officer Wilson never should have been brought up on charges to begin with.
The Justice Department announced the conclusion of our investigation and released a comprehensive 87-page report documenting our findings and our conclusions that the facts do not support the filing of criminal charges against Officer Darren Wilson in this case. Michael Brown's death, though a tragedy, did not involve prosecutable conduct on the part of Officer Wilson.
How about the fact that Michael Brown refused to listen to instructions, that Michael Brown bullied folks, and yet he was hailed as a martyr? People in the NBA, women holding up their hands. What was it? Was it the Seattle Seahawks that did that with their slogans? That doesn't have an impact on society? Of course it does. Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Hey, you leave my Hillary alone. I don't want any more about Hillary as far as anything that could make her look in any way somewhat secretive. She is going to be the best president, and she will be the next president.
That's the best that you can do?
Well, why don't you pick on Petraeus? He gave his logs over it, and it said on the news above top secret to his mistress a week before he was became the CIA director. Why don't you attack people like that, that are insane?
Well, I think what happens is you have to have some consistency.
You know, our Constitution is being shredded. We know about the secret wiretaps. We know about the secret military tribunals, the secret White House email accounts.
We know about the IRS going after those that they wanted to go after. Yeah, government is out of control. The police are out of control.
You're out of control.
And for Linda to call in and even compare private U.S. citizens that want the word or whatever it is put into a bill, to compare them to ISIS and the crazy guy, the funnel global fungus brain that's calling all the politicians wimpy. Come on. Well, wait a minute. Your show does advertise all sick freaks are welcome here. You stay fired up, Kevin. Have a great weekend. Sniper was an excellent show, even though it was bogus. Stay fired up.
Well, you would know about being bogus. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Back to the point that we were trying to make about Holder attacking the very institutions, Holder attacking the police department. And here you have Officer Wilson just doing his job. And people are going to have negative connotations. I think police officers are great. Now, do I agree with Chief Masterson making political statements in his uniform? No, I don't think that he should do that. I think that when you are, look, if you're in the military, if you're in the police, you leave those political statements elsewhere, right? But now Chief Masterson is not the chief of police. So that's one issue. The other issue being at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, you've got two former governors attacking the current governor about nuclear waste.
Either comply with the policy set forth in NEPA, or the governor and I will be forced to file litigation in the federal court, which we are prepared to do, and which we intend to do if it's necessary. We hope it isn't.
Now, is it going to take somebody going undercover to INL to find out if those shipments are coming in? The governor, the attorney general have denied this. The governor and the attorney general say we're complying. We're working with the feds. What would cause two former governors to make these allegations? Obviously, because of their expertise, their passion, their caring for this community, for this state, they want to make sure that no new or old nuclear waste is stored above the Snake River Aquifer. You talk about a disaster. I mean, all of a sudden, we would all be glowing at night, and that's nothing to joke about. Your thoughts next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Good morning. Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Either comply with the policy set forth in NEPA, or the governor and I will be forced to file litigation in the federal court.
There you have it. Governor Andrus, Governor Batt going after Governor Otter over more nuclear waste in the state of Idaho. Back to your phone calls. Anthony, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for the moment here.
Well, thanks for your patience. What can we do for you?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say that I hope that Representative Lorcher is listening, or that he catches the 580 KIDO podcast, because I want him to listen carefully. It needs to be the sole purpose of every citizen in Idaho who values the ideal of the republic to see this man defeated in the next primary election. Because this issue of House Bill 89 now eclipses any kind of legislation and what anyone's opinion is regarding that. What we have here is establishment political maneuvering in its most basic form. We have one man who is playing politics because his feelings got hurt. House Bill 89, Kevin, is a quintessential idealism of the function of a republic. The Idaho Second Amendment Alliance is a grassroots organization of citizens. It's founded by citizens. It's operated by citizens. It's funded by citizens. It's purely Idahoan. And it has introduced a bill that enjoys widespread support, you guessed it, Kevin, from citizens.
Yeah.
And now this bill is going to die in committee at the hand of one politician, regardless of the will of the people to have it heard, and regardless of the willingness of the creators and the sponsor of the bill to work within the framework of government to see this bill get its day on the floor for a vote. And this reality shows that we have elected representatives who are playing politics instead of representing citizens as they were elected and paid to do. So, Chairman Lorcher, if you're listening today, you need to give House Bill 89 the chance it deserves to be heard, or you're going to have to roll the dice and see if constituents wield power to remove you from office.
Anthony, thank you for your passion and the call.
Thank you.
All right. Tom in Nampa with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing today?
That's a pretty emotional call.
Yeah, he did. Hello.
Hello. Who's listening there with you, Tom? Hi. Thought somebody said hello, Kevin. So, hi.
Okay, Alex, we have to talk now. I'm taking my son to school.
Okay.
Okay, that's enough. Anyway, got a question for you.
Since yes, sir.
Two has-been politicians are so up in arms about this. How come they're going after the governor of Idaho instead of the guys that are allegedly shipping in this stuff? I mean, is it thou shalt not speak ill of the Obama administration, because they're the most transparent administration of all time? If this stuff's coming in, it's coming in from someplace, it's being shipped in, somebody's driving the friggin' truck or the railroad car, why isn't that being looked at? Is it just political maneuvering, or...
Well, that's a good point. I mean, the first shot was fired at the governor and the attorney general, alleges they're colluding with the feds, and, you know, they didn't mention the Obama administration, but it would be, what, the Department of Energy, so, you know, you're...
Hello?
Yes, no, I didn't want to cut you off. Go ahead, Tom.
No, just wondering, you know, you can't, if you have two parties in a, quote, crime, and you're only going after one party...
You can't win.
Yeah. Quiet from the peanut gallery.
That's okay. We love the peanut gallery.
Oh, I know. He's cute. Alexander. I got to bring him over. He could talk to you for hours.
Well, let's have him do the show.
Don't tempt him.
Yeah.
Don't tempt him.
Yeah, I'd love to.
We'd love to have you, Alexander. Alex, we'd love to have you do the show. What would you like to say? You got any issue you want to talk about here?
Well, got to cut it off, though, because we got to go to school.
I like to talk about dinosaurs.
Okay.
And will for hours.
Well, look, that would probably be better than some of the stuff we talk about. Tom, you have a great day.
You too. Good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 And to our great friend Alex there, you come in anytime. We'll talk about dinosaurs. Bring your dad in, and it will probably increase the brain power of your host in this program. What do we do now? Time for traffic now. How about that? 8:59, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Don't forget all these great programs coming up next. Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Dave Ramsey, and keep it at 580KIDO.com. We'll have some great blogs for you throughout the weekend, blogs. And follow me on Twitter at Kevin Miller Show. But let me just say this, that as we face the nukes, as we face the issue involving Hillary Clinton, Alex and Tom and Alex, really focused on what we do and what you do and why you care and why you participate and why you make a difference. It's for the next generation. It's for the Alexes and his daddy, Tom, talking about dinosaurs on their way to school. Is there a better way to end this show with just a positive message than a father and a son? Join us Monday from Bishop Kelly. Thank you, CapEd. Thank you, Chick-fil-A, for making that happen. Thank you for listening. Good day. God bless, and keep the faith.